Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur on Daf Kuf Mem Dalid Omit Aleph, three lines from the bottom of the Omid. During our last shiur, we spilled over, so to speak, onto Daf Kuf Mem Dalid because of the necessity of keeping the topic in a full and complete fashion before ending our previous shiur. Therefore, we find ourselves well onto Daf Kuf Mem Dalid, Omid Aleph, three lines from the bottom, where we've highlighted with a double underline points that are connected or that are relevant to that which we pointed out on Kuf Mem Gimel Omid Beis. We also have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in order to make the proper connection. So if you are able to scroll back or to turn back to Kuf Mem Gimel Omid Beis, you will notice that it's pointing, the arrow is pointing to a Tanaic source in which we saw that which Shmuel had said earlier. You'll notice Shmuel's name had been circled on Kuf Mem Gimel Omid Beis in the middle of the Omid, where he said that the Rabbi Yehuda was Moedet to the Chachomim, and also dashed, underlined, Moedim Chachomim L'Rabbi Yehuda, where each one agreed with the other with regard to different kinds of fruits that one had gathered together for eating purposes, and how do we view the liquids that ooze forth from them? Do we view them as mashkin, and that would become a problem vis-a-vis Shabbos, or do we view them as oichlin, making the liquids allowed for Shabbos? This, of course, was discussed in detail during our previous shiur. What we want to do right now is show how we are picking up here on the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalet Amal from that which we saw earlier. So on Kuf Mem Gimel Omid Beis, we saw a Tanaic source, a point in which there was no controversy, namely the Rabbi Yehuda was moide to the Chachamim, who the Chashitas Chachamim made no distinction when it came to liquids that oozed forth from fruits, so they always seemed to view it as a liquid, as a mashkin, and in that source it had said that Zesim and Anovim, whose liquids oozed forth from them on their own, that which oozes forth from them, the oil from the Zesim or the grape juice from the grapes, if it oozes forth on Shabbos, the liquid will be usur. And that's everyone is in agreement with that. So you see that even Rabbi Yehuda, who was a lenient opinion, as we had seen on Kuf Mem Gimel Omid Beis, he will concede to the stringency with regard to Zesim and Anovim. And now we continue here on Kuf Mem Dalet Omid Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda, we said, Ashkechon Rabbi Yehuda demoid l'Rabbonan b'zesef anovim. We have found Rabbi Yehuda to concede to the Rabbonan regarding zesim and anovim, the liquids that come forth from them, even if you had gathered them, you put them in a bowl for eating purposes, the liquid that comes forth is considered the liquid, and since they're designed for that liquid, the liquid is also because of the fear that you will come to continue squeezing them for their liquid value. Now, Rabbonan de modu lei l'Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peiros minolan. This was the second point that Shmuel had made back on Kuf Mem Gimel Omid Beis, that the Rabbonan will concede to Rabbi Yehuda regarding other peiros. The Rabbonan, again, were a stringent opinion, but they will be lenient in concession to Rabbi Yehuda with regard to fruits other than Zesim and Anovim, that if you gathered them for eating purposes, the liquid that oozes forth from them will not be viewed as mashkin and will be allowed. You can use that liquid on Shabbos. There is no fear that those kind of fruits, the non-zeisim and anofim, there's no fear that you will come to squeeze them. In effect, that would be basically a ruination of them. They're not designed for their juice content. So where do we see that? That the Rabbonan concede to Rabbi Yehuda and be lenient? Desanya. So we have an answer. This is an answer to the question of Menolon, and this is a long answer. Note the long answer marking that you see to the side of the Gemara. Desanya. The source begins here. Sochatin, Bifgoin, Bifrishin, Bizrudin. We are continuing here at the top of Kuf Mem Dalet Omid Beis. The source tells us that you can squeeze out these different kinds of fruits. For each one of them, Rashi gives a French word. And as we've said many times in Gemara markings, the translation of those items that we don't have a strong tradition on into English will be a bit difficult for us. Rashi, as we say, gives French words. In the books that deal with French translations of Rashi words, they explain that pegoyim are prunes, prishin are quinces. In Hebrew, they're known as chavushin, and ozrodin, they translate the French word as sorb apples. And for those of you who are familiar with sorb apples, so this will just take on that bit more of a meaning for you. So those things, pegoyim, preshin, and ozrodim, one can squeeze them out on Shabbos. An amazing thing, but you can do it, according to this source. Avaloba rimonim, you cannot squeeze out rimonim, which are often translated as pomegranates. Vishalbeis menashe bar menachem hoyu sochtim berimonim during the weekdays. We have to be careful with the reading of this source, and we've written in and used markings to help with the reading, that beis menashe, that's hoyu sochtim, means during the weekdays, which shows us that rimonim juice is something that is of desirability to people. This family, Beis Menashe, used to squeeze out their rimonim. Therefore, on Shabbos, the juice that comes forth from them will be forbidden. So now we have a source. This source that we just read has no name in it. What did we bring the source in for? To show that the Chachomim will concede to Rabbi Yehuda regarding those kind of fruits that are not designed for juice value, that the liquids that ooze forth from them will be allowed. So far, this source, A, has no name in it, and B, it doesn't feature juice coming out on its own. So we'll have to deal with that as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara continues, Umimai de Rabbonan hi dilma Rabbi Yehuda hi. Who says this source is the Rabbonan at all? We're looking for the Rabbonan, but this doesn't help. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was lenient. And how does this help us then in our search? So the Gemara says, "Vetevei nami Rabbi Yehuda." Even if you say that it is Rabbi Yehuda, still, how does this source help us? Amar d'shamisle Rabbi Yotzu mi'atzmon. Rabbi Yehuda, in his leniency, told us about liquids that come out on their own. Sochatin lechatchilo mi'shamisle. Did Rabbi Yehuda ever say that you're allowed to squeeze things out, squeeze fruits out as a first choice? Ela mayisloch lemeimar, when you look at this source, what are you going to have to say? Kevon delav b'nei schita ninhu, since the fruits mentioned at the top of the page, pgoim, preshin, and ozrodin, are not fruits that are designed for squeezing out. They're not juice fruits. Afilu lechadchila, then there is no problem as a first choice to go ahead and squeeze them out. Therefore, afilu teimo rabbonan, you can say that the source in fact is in accordance with the rabbonan. Just like we said that if you want to say the source is like Rabbi Yehuda, it's still not going to match his original statement. So what must you say? You must say that this source represents a different circumstance. It represents a case of fruits that are not b'nei schita. So, and in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to squeeze them out as a first choice. Therefore, afilu tam rabbanon, you can even say that this source is in accordance with the rabbanon. Kevon de lav b'nei schita ninu, since they are not designed for their juice value. Afilu lechadchila, even as a first choice, the rabbanon would allow you to do it. Shma mino rabbanon, this shows us that this source could be and is according to the Rabbanon as well, Shema Mina. This is therefore conclusive. So from this source we see the Shitas HaRabbanon conceding to Rabbi Yehuda that when you're dealing with a non-fruit, non-juice, non-juice fruit, if you will, you can benefit from the liquids that come out on their own, and you can even squeeze them out as a first choice. The Gemara continues, looking at the point that was made in this source regarding the base Menashia. We want to just tie in this quote to where you originally saw it, so we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and this can be tied into the, or parallel to the arrow, the second line from the top. Shall base Menashia bar Menachem hoyu sochtim berimoinim. In mentioning a stringency regarding the Rimonim, the source cited the practice of this family, that the base Menashe would squeeze out Rimonim during the weekdays, showing you that Rimonim are juice fruits. Omar Rav Nachman, Halocha Kishel base Menashe bar Menachem. Rav Nachman rules like them. Omar Le Rava. Now, we begin a long question as the mark notes on the side of the Gemara text. Rava says to Rav Nachman, Menashe ben Menachem Tanahu. For Rav Nachman to say what he did, it sounds like that Menashe bar Menachem was some type of Tanaic authority, and Rav Nachman is ruling like that authority. But they weren't an authority. They were a family that happened to make rimon juice or pomegranate juice. V'chitemo, and if you want to say halocha ki hai tano, the sovar lo kishel Menashe ben Menachem. Maybe what you are trying to say is the halacha is like the Tana that cites the practice of Menashe ben Menachem, holding like them that Rimonim are juice fruits. O mishum da sovar ke Menashe ben Menachem halacha kemoisoi. And because the Tana chooses to accept the practice of Menashe ben Menachem, that means the halacha should go like him. Menashe ben Menachem have a ruba di alma. That is that family, the majority of the world. Granted, that family made pomegranate juice. Does that mean the whole world makes pomegranate juice? Maybe, as far as the world is concerned, pomegranates are non-juice fruits. And if that be the case, then there should be no problem with using the liquids that ooze forth from pomegranates and maybe even squeeze them out as a first choice. So what kind of psak is this? What kind of ruling is this that Rav Nachman makes based on a practice of the family of Menashe ben Menachem? The Gemara responds, and we have a marking on the side of the Gemara. We should have noted we have a topic heading and a structural note. The topic heading we've already gotten into. The topic heading reads, Psikas Rav Nachman Leso Schitas Rimonim B'Shabbos, the ruling of Rav Nachman that bans the squeezing of Rimonim on Shabbos. V'tat Nosei Binyan Mikveh, later in the Gemara there will be a subcategory, a subtopic dealing with mikvos, but not for right now. And the diamonds that we see are Shnei Hezberim Shel Rav Nachman Lagabi Schitas Rimonim B'Shabbos. So we have to be masbir. Our job now is to masbir Rav Nachman. So let's continue. The Gemara says in. Disnan. In means yes. The practice of Menashe ben Menachem can in fact influence the final halachic outcome. if you're asking, well, how in the world does the practice of one family constitute reason for establishing that which we should look at regarding the whole world? So we say, yes, that is acceptable. Disnan, Hamakayim Koitzim Bekerim. This source deals with the topic of Kilayim. Kilayim is the prohibition of planting different kinds of vegetation, we'll say non-trees, in a vineyard. So this source says, one who maintains thistles in a vineyard. Rabbi Lezer Omer Kidesh. Kidesh is an expression meaning that creates kilayim. It's a pro. There, it is also, it is forbidden. Kidesh means, for our purposes, it is forbidden as a kilayim violation. The Chachomim Rim Eino Mekadesh Elodover Shekamo Mekaymen. Kilayim is not violated unless you are planting in the vineyard things that people maintain. People, Mekaymen is, as we say, maintain, or they produce, to the exclusion of thistles. The Yomar Rabbi Chanina, my time of Rebbe Lozer. What's the basis for Rebbe Lozer? In other words, of course, if something that you're not interested in happens to grow next to a vine or grows in a vineyard, no one would think that will create a kilayim problem. So why is it that Rebbe Lozer says that kidesh, that the koitzim, that thistles in a vineyard, create a kilayim problem, a mixed breeding problem? So the answer to Rebbe Lozer is, or the Hesber, the explanation is, Shekein Baravio Mekaymen Koitzei Sodos Ligmalehen. In Arabia, which is known for its camel population, the people there develop, or they produce fields of thistles, for in fact camels eat those. So what do we see from this? We see that the practice in Arabia, which is not the majority of the world, but the fact that in Arabia they maintain and develop and produce thistle fields, it makes thistles a vegetation of significance, and therefore creates a kilayim problem all across the boards. So from this we want to see that there is basis for ruling based on the practice of the Menashe ben Menachem family and their pomegranate juice. The Gemara says, Midi Irya, how can you compare the din of Koitzim Bekerem based on the practice in Arabia to the Rimonim juice based on the practice of Menashe ben Menachem? The Aravio Asra, Arabia is a place, Asra place, a region. It has significance. Here in the case of one family, so they have this, what we would call an odd practice of making rimon juice. Their practice is void relative to the rest of humanity. So why do we take them into consideration? Ella. Hainu taimo the Rav Chisda. Again, elo hainu taimo kid the Rav Chisda. The reason for ruling like the Menashe family, ta'aser, to ban the pressing, the squeezing of rimonim on Shabbos, is based on Rav Chisda's teaching. The Yoma Rav Chisda. Tradin shesochton v'nosn b'mikveh poislim es ha-mikveh b'shunui mara. Tradin is another type of vegetation. One who were to squeeze tradin out, and the juice that oozes forth from them were placed in a mikveh. A mikveh is a pool of rain water that is designed for purification purposes. And it must be a pool of 40 saw of rain of water. If someone squeezed, traded, and put the juice into a mikveh, it will be capable of ruining the mikveh, b'shinui mar, if there's a change in the color, the water appearance. V'ha lav b'nei schito ninhu, but traded are not something that you produce liquids from them. Elomai is loch lemeimar. So, if it's not designed for liquids, so then why would the trade-in juice ruin the mikveh? So what are you going to have to say? Kevon de'achshevinu have lehu mashke, since you had intent for them, for the trade-in that you squeezed out for their liquid, you squeezed them out, so you were interested in their liquid. That is enough to make it into a mashke, and a mashke that's not water will ruin the mikveh. Hachinami kevon de'achshevinu, so too over here with the case of the squeezing of the rimonim on Shabbos, have lehu mashke. That makes it into, that categorizes it as a mashke, and it is also to produce, to squeeze fruits out on Shabbos for their mashke. This little piece of Gemara that we just learned needs a great deal more explanation. So first we're going to go through the Rashi on this Gemara, and then we're going to focus on the markings that we have. So first we look at Rashi. We're looking at Rashi ke Rav Chista. Once again, we're trying to explain Rav Nachman's ruling that it would be forbidden to squeeze Rimonim on Shabbos because of the practice of the Menashe family, who would squeeze Rimonim on a weekday. So Rashi says, Rav Chista, afal gav de le'alma lo choshiv. Even though, granted, the world doesn't squeeze Rimonim, kevon de achshiv ihu, since he did it, the individual did it, have it l'didei mashke, it is unto him of mashke, of beverage, of liquid significance. The achi meforish Rav Nachman lebraisa d'liel. Now, with this information, we're going to see how Rav Nachman explains the Tanaic source that we saw at the top of the Omid. Sochtin b'fgoyim v'rishin l'matei kapri. One is allowed to squeeze those fruits that were described above for sweetening the fruit. It makes it better tasting if you squeeze it. V'loy lutzorich hamashke. But you're not allowed to squeeze the p'goyim v'rishin l'matei for their juice value. In other words, to improve the taste of the fruit so you can put pressure on the fruit, liquid might ooze forth from it, that is okay. However, to squeeze them out for their mashke, that would not be allowed. Avaloi b'rimoinim v'afilu l'maskon, but when it comes to rimoinim, you're not allowed to pressure them, squeeze them, to press them, even to improve their taste. Why not? Hoyul d'shel beis menashe yisochtem b'choyul l'tzorch mashke. Since the Beis Menashe family on weekdays would produce rimon juice, hilchuch b'Shabbos also rafilu l'masek. Therefore, on Shabbos, to do the l'masek process of squeezing to improve the fruit's taste will be forbidden. With regard to rimonim, hoyul v'ikol chad ovid l'shem mashke, since there is someone out there in the world, the Beis Menashe in this case, that is interested in rimon juice. Not because they constitute the majority of the world, but we are afraid. If we will allow you to squeeze the rimonim for improving the fruit taste, you might come to produce, to squeeze them for their beverage value. And since you, the individual, have intent and give importance to the liquid, to the rimon beverage, ave mashke umechayv. It becomes therefore defined as a mashke, and that is a Shabbos violation to squeeze fruits for their mashke. Avo pegoyim leko lemechash lahochi. With regard to the pegoyim preshin and Azroda mentioned at the top of the Omid, this fear doesn't exist. The ein adam oisoy selamashke. No one, which makes it, no one meaning even less than the case of Rimonim, where there was a Menashe family, in the case of these fruits, no one will ever squeeze them for their juice value. So therefore, we can allow you to squeeze them to improve their taste. Lamasik. Note, though, we won't allow you to squeeze them directly for their juice value. The Gemara went on to say that this was all based on Rav Chisda's teaching that alluded to the squeezing of tradin, and the liquid that comes forth from them will ruin a mikveh b'shinui mara. So Rashi continues, b'shinui mara v'lo b'shloishis lugin, not if you have merely 3 lug of this particular liquid. This is a bit off the topic, but there is a famous shi or a famous quantity of liquid that ruins a mikveh. That's if you have 3 lug. But that is not an issue over here. Here we're dealing with something other than water. Other liquids don't ruin a mikveh unless they cause a change in the appearance. So what's the point over here? The point is that when you have even though you have something that is not b'nei schita, you have in the case of Rav Chisda's din of tradin, which we apply then to the case of the rimonim, you have something that's not designed for its liquid value, but you have intent for the liquid, you squeeze it with the intent for the liquid. That gives it a liquid status. So too, with regard to the rimonim, it's not designed for the liquid, but if you squeeze it for the purpose of its liquid, it then takes on a liquid status and is therefore usur. It's forbidden to squeeze the fruits out on Shabbos for their liquid. At this point in the Gemara, we must pause and take note of the structure. We have a very dramatic Gemara structure to deal with. We have a bracket, and there's a bracket note on the side that where the star appears. Tam HaSograim, we've written. The reason for the bracketed section, and by the way, the length of the section bracketed is indicated by the bracket length indicator. You can see a descending vertical dash dotted line to the side of the Gemara text, giving you a feel of how long the section is. So the reason for this is levodeid hadiyun beinyone mikveh, to isolate the section of the Gemara that will deal with mikveh. Ulaharois, and to show the adkan adiyun bedvorov shel Rav Nachman istayim, that up till this point the discussion regarding Rav Nachman and his psak, like the psak prohibiting the rimon juice based on Beis Menashe, has come to an end. So with that in mind, we want to take a look at the explanation of the markings. We explained already the diamond that we saw. The Gemara markings featured triangles as well. Notice, under our Mivneh heading, try to see where a triangle appears. At that point, we've written Shnei Hezberim Ledino Shel Rav Chisda B'Mikveh. So the first triangle, there's a, you can see a number 1. And we learned this already. Rav Chisda said that if one squeezes tradin, the juice that comes forth from them will ruin a mikveh b'shinui mare. How is that? It's because you considered the tradin for their juice value, making it into a mashke. And a mashke will ruin a mikveh if it changes its color. So even though tradin are not designed for their mashke, we said, by squeezing it out for the mashke, for the liquid, that gives the liquid that comes forth from them a mashke status. There was a second hesber that we haven't learned yet, and that's the opening point in the bracketed section, and that's featured by Rav Papa's comment. Now, we needed to treat the Rav Papa triangle with a shaded in tip a little differently, and there's a reason for that. That will be explained as we go on with our explanation of the Gemara markings. But first, the point is the triangles with the numberings 1 and 2, they represent 2 hesberim for Rav Chisda's explanation of the Tradim Shesochton. we have in our note on this under our Mivneh heading, a triangle with Rav Nachman, abbreviated Reish Nun, Ein Roy Lifsol Mikveh Afilu Bishinu Mara Elodover Hanikra Mashkin. Only something that has a Mashkin status will be able to ruin a mikveh if it causes a change in its color. In other words, you can imagine if you put an electric light bulb submerged in a mikveh that has a purple filter on it, so thereby giving the mikveh a purple hue to it, that will not ruin the mikveh. Ah, there's a change in the color, but it's not a mashke that's changing the color, it's a light bulb that's changing the color. There's another approach that you see in our triangle, the Reish Pei Rav Papa. Afilu eino nikra mashkin roi lifsol. Even if it's not called a mashkin, it's still the trade in juice will be able to passel the mikveh. And we'll have to see that more when we get into it. But two explanations for Rav Chisda's din regarding the trade-in. Just a note that we're focusing on the issue of the mikveh. And that is because, as we said before, as far as the Shabbos din and Rav Nachman's psak, that finished. We finished with that. We're getting off into a mikveh discussion simply because we cited Rav Chisda along the way. We continue on the side of our Gemara, the tatnose, the subtopic that we've written is traden shesochton, traden vegetation that was squeezed out, poisonous a mikveh. They will ruin a mikveh. And there's point number two we'll see in the Gemara. Moichel, zeisim moichel is a liquid that oozes forth from olives. Not necessarily olive oil per se. It's a different liquid that oozes forth from them. Shepoisel mikveh. Under the Mivneh heading, you'll notice we have a bow tie. Now, the bow tie we've seen already around Traden. That's number one, Traden. And number two, the word moichel. You'll see also in the Gemara with a bow tie. These two substances, Traden juice and moichel, poislin mikveh. Lama, why? Why do they passel mikveh? So, as far as Traden is concerned, we introduced two triangles. We had a one and a two. The two being within the bracketed section, but they were two triangles to explain the Traden that passels mikveh. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, after the bow tie with moichel, you will notice again triangles, one, and a few lines later, two. What we are trying to do with our markings is to show, and you see more triangles on the side, the two kinds of triangles are machloikis betraden, makbilu lemachloikis bemoichel. We're going to see a parallel between the way we explained the trade-in juice as passeling the mikveh and the case of the moichel in passeling the mikveh. With regard to the trade-in, answer number one, it was important for answer number one back at the trade-in to establish that the trade-in juice is classified as a mashke. Once it's classified as a mashke, we know, according to that approach, that if it changes the appearance, the color of the mikveh, it will ruin the mikveh. According to approach number two, which we haven't learned yet, the psul is not based on the fact that it has mashke status, but it's for a different reason. When we get to the moichel, the same structure will appear. Answer number one, saying that the moichel and its reason for passeling the mikveh has to do with its mashke status. Answer number two will reflect what Rav Papa said in his answer number two for Rav Chisda, that even without a mashke status, it will passel the moichel will passel the mikveh. With all that introduction having been said, we will now start the bracketed section with Rav Papa and number two. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa explains that the trade-in that was squeezed out is not considered a mashke. And the hesber for Rav Chisda is Mishum Dahavidovar She'ein Oisin Mimenu Mikveh Lechatchila. The liquid coming from trade-in is not something from which we make mikvos. We make mikvos from rain water, not from trade-in juices. The Choldovar Shein Oisin Mimenu Mikveh Lechatchila Poisel Es HaMikveh B'Shinui Mare. And anything that from which we do not make mikvos will ruin a mikveh if it's poured into an existing mikveh, if it changes its appearance. Tnan Hosom. This section is explained by the Rabbeinu Hananel with a structural note. We have a little star to help you find the Rabbeinu Hananel in the lower part of the page. You see Rabbeinu Hananel and the star says, V'kevon shizkarnu psulos ha-mikveh amrinon tanan hosam. Because we've mentioned the issue of that which passels a mikveh, so we're going to go on and continue in that topic as we see immediately. There's a Tanaic source in the, we continue in the Gemara, Nofal Lesoichoi Yayin Ochometz Umoichel Vishino Marov Pasul. If there fell into a mikveh, wine, vinegar, or moichel, and it changed the color of the mikveh, so Pasul, the mikveh will be unfit. Moichel, we should point out, is a liquid that oozes forth from olives. In the case of olive oil production, there we will see in the Rashi, there are actually three levels or three types, three situations of liquid oozing from olives. So we have a source that we just read, describing, amongst other things, moichel, as ruining a mikveh b'shinui mare. Man tana da moichel mashkehu. Now, in asking this question, there is a premise, and that is that only through a mashke, through a liquid, will a mikveh become nifsal, something that's classified, liquid that's classified as a mashke. Maybe it's a little bit late in today's shiur to say this, but we should have said it earlier. The term mashke, many of you might associate, and in a translation form, with the word liquid, beverage or liquid. We've pointed out many times in Gemara markings that translations are only one step in formulating halachic principles. In our Gemara, we are dealing with a halachic principle known as a mashke. A mashke is a halachic category. And not every liquid is going to be classified as a mashke. And even though you might translate mashke as liquid, mashke is a halachic category. So here you can see this quite clearly. The Gemara is asking which Tana holds that Moichel is classified as a halachic mashke. And the assumption being that only a mashke is something that will ruin a mikveh. So who is the Tana that holds thusly? Omar Abaye, Rebbe Yankiv E. This is the opinion of Rav Yankiv. Now, why do we have a triangle number one over here? Because this is the first explanation regarding the bow-tied moichal and its ability to passel a mikveh. Abaye says that the source we read with moichal in it is in accordance with a singular opinion, that is that of Rav Yankiv. When we go a few lines later and we see Rava, he will say, not so. It's not just according to Rabbi Yankiv, but rather the psul of mochel is based on a different consideration. Dover shein oisim imenu mikveh. And you'll see that that concept of dover shein oisim imenu mikveh we already saw in the triangle featuring Rav Papa with the colored in tip above. And hence you can see the balance in this Gemara with the two triangles we're seeing now, Abaye and Rava, paralleling the two triangles we saw above in explaining the trade-in juice and its ability to passel a mikveh. So let's now continue. Rav Abaye says that the source that says Moichel passels a mikveh is in accordance with Rav Yankiv, Desanya, Rav Yankiv Oimer, Moichel Harei Ukemashke. Mochel, the liquid that oozes forth from olives, is like, has a mashke status. Umatam omru moichel ayotze betchila tahor. We must point out now that there are three mochel levels, and Rashi explains each one of them. So let's take a look at the Rashi before going further in the Gemara. The Rashi we are looking at is on the first wide line under the Gemara text. There's a brackets that we placed in the Rashi, and there's a little star there. And we've written on the side, Besograyim, Hezber Mefurat, Be'inyan Noizlim Hayotzim Beti'inas Zeisim, which is Moichal. A detailed explanation regarding the liquids that ooze forth from olives during olive oil production. So look, let's continue with the Rashi for the time being. V'gimel minim yesh boi. There are three types of moichal when dealing with oil production. Number one, kisheto anon mitchila b'maratan lishamim. There's a piling up of olives in a unit called a ma'atan, and the dense piling of the olives together is to create heat. Ulisbashimelem, for them to lisbashel can mean ripen or cook, or let's say in this case to become ready on their own. So when they are piled up in the ma'aton to become ready, Moichal zov mehen, a liquid starts to ooze from them. Tzolul kemayim, it's clear like water. Stage two. Ula'achar she'omdu yomim v'dochaku ze'eze. After they've stood for a while and pressed one on the other, chozer moichal lazuv mehen. There is again another flow of liquid. V'korov lios kishemen, it's close to being like oil. In both of these stages, we have not the olives have not been crushed or ground in the actual oil production. Number three, ula'achar she'otzran lahotzi shimnon beveis habad u'mishtoya atapuach shogefes be'akolim. Stage three is after the olives have been pressed in the olive press. So you have what we'll call olive residue. The olive residue is piled up into a pile called a tapuach. Gefes is a term we actually saw in the third parak of this Masechta, the olive residue in which can produce heat. It's a dover hamoisif hevel. So be'akolim. Akolim is a type of network that shu ogud bohen. The Veis Habad, this network holds together the olive debris or olive residue in the press. At that point, again, after the olives have been pressed and you have all this olive residue, Chozer Moichel Vizov Mehen, a third stage of Moichel oozes forth from them. With that introduction, we go back into the Gemara. We've started a Tanaic source that said moichel is like mashke, is quite like a mashke. Umatam omru moichel ayotze betchila tor. Why is the moichel that comes out at the first stage, betchila means at the beginning, why is it tor, means why is it not viewed as a mashke, why is it not machshir lekabel tuma? Machshir lekabel tuma is a concept that involves fruits becoming wet, fruits or vegetables becoming wet, and after they become wet, they become subject to or susceptible to tuma. That's machshir lekabel tuma. It readies them for tuma absorption. Why is it that the moichel at stage one is not machshir? L'fisheinu roitza b'kiyuma, because it's a liquid that he doesn't want. And liquids that he doesn't want do not machshir. Reb Shimon oimer, moichel eino kemashke. Reb Shimon says moichel is not like a mashke. Uma tam omru moichel ayoytze meiko beis habad tome. Then why is it that the moichel that comes forth at stage 3 is machshir lekabel tuma? Because it's impossible that there aren't droplets of actual olive oil in them. Now, olive oil is a mashke that's machshir lekabel tuma. The third stage moichel has got mixed in it the tzichtzuchei shemen. Let's take a careful note of the two shitas we see in this source, or the two points mentioned here, and that is that that moichel at the first stage is not machshir, and moichel at the third stage is machshir. My binaihu, what is the point of difference between these two opinions? Reb Yankiv said that moichel is like mashke. Reb Shimon said moichel is not like mashke. Regarding stage 1, there is agreement that the moichel at stage 1 is not machshir. Moichel at stage 3, there is agreement it is machshir. So what's the point of difference between Reb Yankiv and Reb Shimon in a practical sense? Iko binayu da'osi basur itzatzta. It's the moichel that comes after they've been pressed together. Pressed together means they've been condensed, or they've been in a tight pile with one another. Simply for our purposes, it's stage 2. The moichel that oozes forth at stage 2 will be a point of difference between them. And my assumption is that, according to Rav Yankiv, since he said moichel is like mashke, so the stage 2 oozing will machshir. According to Rav Shimon that said moichel is not like mashke, the stuff that oozes, the moichel that oozes at stage 2 will not be machshir. But not to lose sight of forest for the trees, according to Abaye, moichel is capable of ruining a mikveh, according to Reb Yankiv. Why? Because Reb Yankiv says that moichel is a mashke. And once something is classified as a mashke, then it can passel the mikveh b'shinui mare. So the moichel source is explained by classifying the moichel as a mashke. That was Abaye's approach. Compare that, by the way, to the triangle that we saw in the second wide line, also listed as triangle number 1, which was explaining the tradin, and they're passeling the mikveh. Why? Because they're considered a mashke, and a mashke can passel a mikveh b'shinui mare. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava, triangle number 2, Omar, Mishum Davidover Shein Oysen Heimenu Mikveh. The reason that the moichel will passel a mikveh is because moichel is a substance from which you do not make mikvos. And as such, Davar Shein Oysen Heimenu Mikveh Poisils HaMikveh B'Shinui Mare. According to Rava, the moichel source is not a singular opinion, it's according to everybody, making Rava different than Abaye, who set up the moichel source as being only according to Reb Yankiv. We have a period in the Gemara indicating a full stop, because that which follows goes back to a Shabbos discussion. The sugya we just learned, in my opinion, is a very complicated sugya, structurally speaking. Our hope is that the use of the markings will be of benefit. And if this is your first time through the sugya, personally, I would say that it would be understandable that it's still a bit murky. But as you review the Gemara, like one should do every daf, I hope that it will appear to be much clearer the second or third time through. As we continue in the Gemara, we have on the side a topic heading, and we've written Dino Shel Shmuel, Number one, Sochet Odom Peros. Afilu Anovim Lesoif Kedera Bishabas Shel Oichlin. A person can squeeze fruits out for their for the liquid to flow from them. If the liquid is flowing into food, into solid food, into food that's in a pot, for example, that term Kedera literally means a pot, but in this case it's a pot full of food. So the liquid is going directly into food. It's not being collected in another receptacle as liquid, but it's the fruits are squeezed. Even something that's so juice designed as grapes, but the grape juice is going to flow directly into food for seasoning purposes or what have you. That is allowed on Shabbos. Number point two, avolo l'soich k'ora reka. But one would not be allowed to squeeze fruits into an empty bowl. Rashi adds on the issue of the Kedera, on the issue of a Ka'ora, that is, that even though a person doesn't drink from a Ka'ora, but since sometimes he wants the mashke that he squeezed into the ka'ora for mashke purposes, we will not allow it. Because the fact that it's squeezed into a ka'ora, even though people don't drink from it, that's not sufficient evidence that he squeezed it into the ka'ora for something other than drinking or liquid purposes. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Soichet Adam Eshkel Shel Anovim L'Soich HaKedera. A person can squeeze out a cluster of grapes into a kedera of food, avoloi l'soicha ka'ora, but not into an empty bowl. Omar Rav Chista, midivrei Rabbeinu Nilmat, from Shmuel, Rabbeinu, our teacher, from Shmuel, we will learn, we can draw a conclusion. Choyliv odem eiz l'soicha kedera, avoloi l'soicha ka'ora. A person could milk a goat with the milk that streams forth from its udders flowing into a kedera of food, but not into a bowl, an empty bowl. Alma kosava, from this that we just taught, that you can seichet l'seicha kedera of food, we learn mashke habola oichel oichel hu, that liquid that comes, that enters food, that flows directly into food, is considered food. Is considered oichel as opposed to a mashke. And being that it's considered food, it's in your mind's eye, it's like cutting a tomato into two parts. It's food coming from food. Mosiv Romi Bar Chama. Immediately you notice the marking, the double underline, and on the side we explained under the Mivneh, Kushios alho dinema demashke bolo oichlin oichel hu. We're going to raise questions. We're going to challenge this principle that beverages or liquids that are squeezed into food have a food status, namely food status and not a mashke status. So Rami Bar Chama raises a Tanaic source as a challenge. Zav shecholi vesoez hacholov tomei. A zav is a male, that happens to be Tome. It's a form of Tuma. And the source says that a Zav, who is milking a goat, the milk is Tome. The milk is Tome, and here we have to, the main point is, even if he is, the milk is flowing into a kedera of food, this piece of Gemara demands a great deal of background knowledge. But for our purposes, we're going to continue in the Gemara, hopefully explaining the relevant points as we go along. The I Amris Mashke Habola Oichlin Oichel Hu. If this principle is correct, in order for the milk that comes forth to become Tomei, being that you're classifying it as Oichel Oichlin, does not become Tomei unless it received hechsher. We alluded to this before. We spoke about something being muhshur lekabel tuma, and something becomes muhshur lekabel tuma when it's exposed to one of the seven different types of liquids. Amongst the different liquids, are water, milk, oil, blood, etc. So it has to be exposed to a liquid to be machshirit lekabel tumah. So here the Gemara is asking if mashkin habol le'oichlin is classified as food, as solid food, so how did the milk become mukhsha? What was machshir the milk coming from the udders to ready it for becoming tomei? And the tumah, the origin of the tumah, by the way, in this case is the zav. The zav communicates tumah through contact or through moving something and by causing the udders to flow forth with their milk. So he's in effect moving the milk, which is called hesit, form of tumas masa. But the food had to be mukhshir lekabel tumah. In this case, the milk, though it's a liquid, is being viewed as a food, no different than a fruit or a vegetable. What was machshir the milk to absorb, to make it susceptible to absorbing the tumah emanating from the zav? Answer: we have an answer. Kidomer Rabbi Yochanan betipa hamuluch leches al pi hadad. Hachanami betipa hamuluch leches al pi hadad. If you wanted to challenge the principle of mashkeh abola oichel as being oichel from this source, the challenge falls away. If your challenge was, well then how did the bikachshu lekabel tumah, the answer is like Rabbi Yochanan teaches. Rabbi Yochanan says, tipa hamulcheches al pi hadad. That's a, tipa is a drop of milk that is smeared on the udder, or in the case of a woman, on her breast, before she continues the process of milk emergence. That drop, that tipa, is liquid, and it's not oichlin. That tipa has a din of a mashke, and a mashke is machshir lekabel tumah. So that first drop that's smeared on the udder in this case is, and it's through that spot that the rest of the milk flows. So that spot, which has this tipo hamluch leches on the udder, is machshir the rest of the milk that flows forth from that point. So that explains the source that zav shechoyev zahay is the source where three lines from bottom that a zav was milking a cat and a goat. The milk that flows forth is classified as oichlin. Why? Because he's milking it. As we are explaining, he's milking it into a pot of food. If you'll ask, well, then why is the milk tameh? The milk is tameh because it was mukhshir lekabel tumah through the tipa hamuluch leches al pi hadad. Question number two. Mosiv Ravina. Tameh meis shesochat zesim v'anovim. We continue at the top of Kuf Mem Hei Omer Aleph. Kebeitza mechuvenes tohor. If a person who had been defiled to the dead, he's called a tomei meis, and he's tomei for 7 days, he has different tuma characteristics from the zav that we had mentioned before. That being aside, the source describes him having squeezed out olives and grapes, a quantity of an egg's quantity of zesim and anovim. So the source tells us tohor. We have to point out again, this realm of tumas oichlin is a very broad realm requiring extensive amounts of background information. But again, we'll try to work as we go along in this sugya. Food, oichlin, communicates tumah to other oichlin, provided that you have an egg quantity of food matter. So here we have an egg quantity of zesim anovim that a tomei meis squeezes out. The source tells us it is tohor. And the reason for that is because the first drop that comes out causes the Zaysim and Anovim to become reduced in size, in amount. There's now less than a kebetza quantity. And as a result, the Zaysim and Anovim that are less than a kebetza in quantity cannot communicate tuma to the liquid that comes forth. We are now continuing the Gemara with an inference. Ha yoiser mi kebetza. If, however, he starts off with more than an egg quantity of zeisim and anovim, tome. So the liquid that comes forth will be tome. The Gemara asks, "Vi'i amris mashke habolo oichel oichel hu?" If liquids that are squeezed out into food have oichel status, then b'mai is kasher. The liquid that comes out of the zeisim and anovim that you're telling me has a food status, and as such it's considered oichel, what was machshir that liquid which you're classifying as oichel to become tomei? After all, you are inferring that if he started out with more than a kebetza, so what happens then? If he starts out with more than a kebetza, when the first drop comes out, that does not diminish the original fruits from the kebetza quantity. So, granted that the original fruits are tomei, how is it, and that they are a kebetza in quantity, how does it communicate tuma to the mashke haboloich, the mashke that comes forth from them, flowing into food? So we are asking then that the principle of mashke haboloich being classified as ochol is challenged. Who moisiv law, who mefarik law? Ravina raises this as a question, and he also answers. This tomei mace is squeezing the zeisim and anovim into an empty bowl. There's no food there. So as we saw before, if there's no food there, so then what is being squeezed out is not classified as oichel, but is classified as mashkin. Now, mashkin themselves don't need hechsher lekabel tuma. There's built-in hechsher, if you will. So as they are coming forth from tomei zeisim and anovim, the mashke is automatically tomei. The Rashi at the top explains, gives us the background to this discussion. So let's take a look at this together. Kebetza mechuvenes tor. If you have a tomei mace that's squeezing out an kebetza amount, mechuvenes means exactly and not more, exactly a kebetza amount. Mishle b'meseches Taros. This is the frame source is from the tractate called Taros. Meforish bo behedya, and there it says explicitly v'vachlo yiga b'mashke. Provided that the tomei mace doesn't touch the liquid, she'eno nogea el ba'oichel, the tomei mace is touching just the fruits. V'kevon de kebetza mechuvenes he, who since you're dealing with an exact kebetza quantity, v'chisochet tipo kamaisa, when the first drop is squeezed out, choser le mikebetza, it's the original fruits then are no longer a kebetza. Vein oichel afa pishehu tomei the food, even though it itself is tomei, metame hamashke, it won't metame the liquid. Shein oichel metame achirim bepochos mikabetza. The liquid that comes forth won't receive tuma from food, which is less than a kebetza. Aval im hoya nogea b'mashke. If, however, the tomei mace touched the liquid, itmi lemashke mitipo rishona, the mashke will become tomei from the first drop that came out. Shamashke mekabel tuma b'cholshu. The mashke itself, if it absorbs tuma even at a kolshu, a negligible amount. V'hochinami toni bo behedya. And likewise, it is also taught explicitly, Yosem Mikabetsa Tomei, if the Tomei mace is squeezing out more than an egg quantity, then the liquid that comes out will be Tomei. Shekevon Shiyotza Tipo Rishona Nitmo Bekabetsa. When the first drop came out, it became Tomei through its contact with a full egg quantity. Some of you may be asking the question that if a tomei mace is squeezing out the zesim and an oven that are already tomei, so of course the liquid that comes out of them would be tomei. That question is dealt with by the Tosfos at the top of the page, but we don't want to get too deep into details right now. Therefore, we're just going to cite the Tosfos as a source that provides the answer to that question. And the issue had been the absorption of Tumah right now of the Mashkim, even though they came from Tomei fruits. The Mashkim themselves are not automatically Tomei, as we saw in our Gemara. We continue in the Gemara with a new geometric form. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading and a Mivneh structural note that we ought to look at. So the Nosei, the Mashke, number one, Habolo Yochel, that we've discussed already, liquids that come forth from fruits directly into food. Number two, Ha'oimed Li'ibud, that's Mashke, liquids that are that come forth to destruction, to oblivion, in other words, for no purpose. They flow to loss, we'll say. And three, ha'oimed l'tzachtzachoy, liquids that are used for shining, we'll see, breads, loaves. The house form that we're about to see indicates a machloikus amoroyim im hamashka bolu soicha oichel have tanoi. The concept we've been dealing with so far is mashka bolu soicha oichel. We're going to see an Amoreia controversy if that concept is itself a machlokes tanoim. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Reb Yirmiya, ketanoi. The issue of mashka bolu soicha oichel, is it classified as an oichel, is a machlokes tanoim. We have a diamond, and you'll notice the colored in tip on the side of the Gemara. We have under our Mivneh heading, the diamond is Shnei Makoros Tanoim Be'inyan Schita. We'll see two Tanaic sources. One begins with the word Hamachlik, a little bit later the word Hamefatzea. These two sources deal with squeezing of fruits. And we start the first source, Hamachlik Be'anovim Lo Huchshar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Huchshar. Machlik is from the word chalak. Chalak means smooth. In this case, we're talking about someone, a baker, who is smearing or smoothing out his loaves with liquids that he is squeezing from grapes. So he's using grape juice to smooth down, to machlik, to smooth down his loaves. The Tanakhama says lo huchshar. The loaves will not become muchshar lekabel tuma. Rashi points out, but parenthetically, that the loaves themselves were prepared with fruit juices, so that they were not muchshar lekabel tuma until this point. When we speak about fruit juices, that's to the exclusion of zesim and anovim, to the exclusion of grape juice. Grape juice is something that is capable of being machshir lekabel tuma. So right now, the issue is, are the loaves muchshir lekabel tuma with this grape juice that is applied to them? The Hanakama says no. Rabbi Yehuda omer muchshar. Rabbi Yehuda says that the loaves are huchshar. We've pointed out in the past that hechsher of food to makabel tuma, to absorb tuma, results only as a result of its contact with one of the seven different types of the seven specific liquids that are capable of being machshir, one of them being wine or grape juice. The Tanakhama says that the grape juice is not machshir. My lav behal komifligi. What must be? The following must be the point of controversy. The Tanakhama, who says that the loaves have not become mukshar, is because the liquid that's coming forth from the grapes is going directly onto the loaves, and as such, it's mashka bo le'oichel, it's mashka coming into food, is considered food, and food is not machshir. You need a beverage, you need a liquid to be machshir. So even though the substance itself is a liquid, that's physically a liquid, it's not halachically considered a mashke. Umor sovar, Rabbi Yehuda says, lav oichel hu. It's not considered oichel, but rather it's considered a mashke, and as such it is able to machshir lekabel tuba. At this point then, the issue of mashka bolo soichel oichel being oichel would seem to be a machlokes tanoim. That is Rabbi Yirmiyah's approach. Rav Papa Omar, de kule almo mashke habolo oichel lav oichel hu. Everyone agrees. That means even the Tanakhama will agree that it's not considered an oichel, it's considered a mashke. If that's the case, so why does the Tanakhama say lo huchshar? The ocho in this Tanaic source with the machlik banovim, but mashke habola ibud komiflagi. The issue concerns something else. It's liquids that are flowing to oblivion, to loss. More so of our mashkehu. Rabbi Yehuda considers it a mashke, and therefore it's machshir. Umosovar lav mashke, and the Tanakhama says it's not considered a mashke. It's liquid that's going to oblivion. U biplukta dehani tanoi. Notice this new marking. We have an inverted triangle. It's featured on the side under the heading or under our mivneh heading. Shnei shitos amoroyim eich lahazbir mekoros hanal. This triangle and the one that follows, which with Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua featured, are going to be explaining in different ways the Tanaic sources that we have seen and are going to see. The Gemara continues. We say desanyo hamefatzea bezesim biodaimisu avois. Huchshu mefatzea is to crack or split zesim olives to soften them. So in doing so, there is liquid that oozes forth, and that's machshir the zesim. It readies the zesim to mekabel tuma. It makes it huchshu lekabel tuma. Lesofson bemelach, if you are splitting the zesim for softening them so that that salt will stick to them. You don't have any interest in liquid coming forth from them, but olives before they're cracked or crushed, they are hard and salt won't cling to them. However, if you soften them, so salt will cling to them. In that case, you're not interested in the liquid that oozes forth. Therefore, they are not mukhshar lekabel tuma. If a dead sheretz were to touch the olives at that point, it won't impart tuma to them. Leida im higiyo zesov limsokim lav. If a person squeezed the zesim to establish through the liquid that oozes forth from them, are they ripe enough for olive oil making or for harvesting? That's im higiyo zesov limsok. Limsok is if they've reached the point at which they should be, they're harvestable, they're ripe. So lo huchshar, the Tanakhama says that's not machshir them lekabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer huchshar, and Rabbi Yehuda says they are muchshar lekabel tuma. So we have a Tanaic controversy at the end of this source. When you squeeze the oil, the olives at that point to know whether they've reached ripening stage, so the mashka there is going to go li'ibud. It's going to flow away and that's it. It flows to oblivion. And yet we have the Tanakama, we have Rebuta saying they're mufshil kabel tuma, as opposed to the Tanakama who says no. So my lav b'ha komiflegi. Is it not so that the following is the basis of the machlokes? The more sovar mashke oimid li'ibud mashke. Reb Yehuda says that the mashke, in this case the oil that flows forth from them as you squeeze them to know whether they're ripe enough for harvesting, even though it goes li'ibud, it goes for loss, it nevertheless is considered a mashke, and therefore they're mukhshel kabel tuma. Umor sovar, the Tanakama says lav mashkehu. It's not considered a mashke, and therefore they're not mukhshar lekabel tuma. Only a mashke is capable of mukhshar lekabel tuma. Omar Rav Huna braid Rav Yehoshua. A second comment regarding the source. Hani Tanoi, the Tanoim in Mefatsea Zaysin that we just read, Bemashke Oimed Liibud Pligi. He agrees with the first approach regarding the source of Mefatsea Bezesim, that in fact is the Machlokas. How do you classify Mashke Oimed Liibud? However, Hanuch Tanoi, the Tanoim in Mefatsea, the Tanoim in Machlik Banovim, that is, the source above, five lines from the top, that source was not dealing with Mashkina Oimed Liibud, like was claimed earlier, but rather B'mashke Oimed Litzachsechoi Komifligi. Mashke, the liquid that's used for shining the loaves. Let us take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is in Dibur HaMaschil, Hani Tanoi. You'll find the Rashi a few lines below where we are now in the Gemara. Hani Tanoi, Dimifatsea, the Tanoim, that's Tanakam and Rebuta, that we're arguing in the splitting of the olives for the purpose of knowing whether they have become ready, they're ripe enough for harvesting. That those Tanoim vaday b'mashkemei libud pligi kedamrinon. They definitely are arguing regarding this concept of mashkemei libud. Is it considered a mashke or not? Avol Tanoi de machlik. The Tanoim in the upper source regarding the baker and his smearing the grape juice on the loaves. Lav oimed liibud pligi. They are not dealing with oimed liibud. The lav liibud ozil. It's not going for destruction into oblivion. Sharei litzachzecho oichel nosno. There is a purpose in the use of the liquids there, namely to smear, to shine the loaves. Vare mitzachzecho, and it accomplishes that. So you can't classify that as hoilech liibud. Elo b'mashke oimed litzachzecho oichel ko mifligi. The inami, in other words, rather, their machlokas concerns the use of liquids for shining food. The inami mashka bolo echel mashkehu, even if you were to say that liquids that enter food are considered mashke, hanimili hechel deka sorif lei. That's where you are, sorif is an expression used for eating something like soup, where you are eating it. Inami shotar be rifta, or you use it for, let's say, dipping bread into it. The Torah's mashke ovid, where it functions as a liquid. Avol nitzachsecho pligi, but using the liquid for shining, that is already a machlokas, as we saw. So in looking over our sukkah from the upper part of this omid, when you look at Rav Yirmiya, he opened this section of Gemara saying that the issue of mashka bol l'socha oichel, whether it's considered oichel or not, is a machlokes tanoim. And he wanted to say that is based on the source of hamachlik. Rav Papa disagreed, and hence we had Rav Papa noted with a house. In contrast with Rabbi Yirmiyahu's house, these two were arguing regarding establishing Mashke Bol Tochel as being a Machlokes Tanoim. Rav Papa says, no, everyone will agree that Mashke Bol Tochel is not considered Oichel. Therefore, what then is the explanation for the source of machlik banovim? There, it was a case, as far as Rav Papa is concerned, as an issue of mashke habo leibud, the liquid that's going into oblivion. At that point in the Gemara, after citing the case of machlik, the Gemara felt that the issue of mashkin habo leibud is paralleled by another machlokes tanoim, as was featured in the case of mefatseya. So the first inverted triangle was a point in Gemara which paralleled the case of machlik, that's the first diamond, with the second diamond source mefatseya. There was another approach to regarding these two sources, namely Rav Huna Brave Rav Shua was also in an inverted triangle, but he took a different approach. He agreed with the first inverted triangle regarding the mifatseya source. That was clearly a case of mashka of oymed leibud. However, Rav Huna Brave Rav Shua disagreed with the first inverted triangle regarding the machlik source. Whereas according to the first inverted triangle, the machlik source was an example of mashke bo leibud, according to the second inverted triangle, Rav Huna Brev Yeshua, that is, the machlik banovim source was dealing with mashke ha'oimed letzachzeko, and that was the Tanaic controversy in that earlier source. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.